Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. We are thankful this morning that we can gather together in warm places, even though we find it colder outside, maybe than it's to our liking. We have a good place to worship. Even vehicles that have heaters, and so in some ways it's different than many years ago. And yet we wonder sometimes whether we're willing to pay the cost that they did, whether we're willing to go through as many hardships as they did to come together to worship. And I trust that if we needed to do it, the Lord would help us find a way to do it. For a message this morning, I was thinking of, I had a message on the Sermon on the Mount some month ago, and I thought I'd take the second message on dealing somewhat with Matthew 5 and verses 13 to 16. And I'm titling this portion of Scripture as Our Mission in the Kingdom, that in the Kingdom of God, there's a mission for people. We had dealt in the early part of the chapter with the heart, that to come to know Jesus Christ, learn to know him. And thinking somewhat this morning of the mission we have. A mission is a place where you want to influence other people. You want to influence them to go in the right way, in the way of God, and the way of the Lord Jesus, and we are convinced and settled that it's a way for all men, the provision is for all men, and so we actively go about to bring that to pass, that we influence others. Sometimes maybe we're pretty passive and, we're living here. We go to church and we hope that rubs off on somebody else. But as we think of mission, we have a goal in mind and we're going to actively pursue it. Mission is to send on a mission. Jesus called and sent forth. In Luke 10, we could see that. In chapter 9, he sent forth the 12 to go out and preach and teach people. And then in chapter 10, he sent the 70 out. And he said they won't go over all the cities in Egypt until the Son of Man come. And I always thought of that as a prophecy scripture, the coming of the Lord. And yet it seemed to me, as I looked at that and the way he said it, he was going to meet them. And he sent them on ahead, it says in chapter 10, that they might go ahead of him and preach and introduce, and then when Jesus come through, people would be more receptive to it. And I think of that somewhat as a mission that we are to society around us, that there's many people, they don't know what you're talking about. Yes, the name of Christ is free to be named in this country, but they don't know what you're really talking about. And so we need to introduce it and keep introduced and then live it out before them as well. And till finally, hopefully, they come to the place where they see Jesus Christ. And so I'm thinking a little bit on that line as we think the activity that we need to not just be passive, but we have a mission in Jesus Christ. And we'll read verse 13 in chapter 5 of Matthew 2:16, where he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As I was saying, I would see in this scripture not being passive. You have something we ought to be doing, and that is to present. As Jesus sent before him the 12, and then he sent 70, that when he would come, their hearts and minds would have been already thinking about it. We make announcements in church so that you're thinking of it. You make it ahead of time so that people realize that are thinking about the fact, and then when the time is close, they are ready for it. And so we're thinking somewhat in that line, that because we are we are a people that are there to be the influence in this society. It's the Christians in this country, not Trump, not although they do their part. But God, I think, has different levels where he works on. He does work in the political scene. And it would have appeared like, you know, it was high time that something changed there. But that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at that the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, and we are the standard of righteousness that is going to influence people to follow the Lord. And we have in Thessalonians where it speaks of the Holy Spirit being taken out of the world, and then shall that evil one, the Antichrist, be revealed at that time. And as long as the Holy Spirit in this country is working, he's working in the Christians, he's working influence to other people outside. They heard it already, and they feel a sense of right and wrong, and it's helping the country and the nation and the communities be better than they would be if the Holy Spirit is taken out. Thessalonians says that he who now letteth will let until he be taken away, meaning the Holy Spirit will leave when the church does. And so we are the influence in the nations that are influencing in the right way and not the political scene. That is, yes, God uses them in a certain way, but as Christians, we are the influence that that we can be. In Matthew 13:33, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." That as we think of leaven being, many times leaven is used as a symbol of evil. But here in this scripture, it's used as something that is there and influencing. It goes through everything. And the Holy Spirit is in this world. He's not in everybody's heart, but he is bringing an influence. You may walk into a place of business sometime or a garage, and the man is maybe cursing, and recognizes that certain people don't do that, and he will immediately begin to try to clean up his language a bit, because the sense of the Holy Spirit. Something told him righteousness is good. Righteousness needs to be followed. And there's evil and there's good. And even though he may not know you, but it gives him a sense. And so there's leaven, that we are as leaven in the society of the Holy Spirit is, that but in us, and the Spirit of God is working and bringing people's minds in place where they realize that that they need to live right, or someday they're going to be accountable to God. And so that's somewhat what we're thinking about. Our mission in the kingdom is to show others about Jesus Christ and to tell them. And as we look at this scripture here, where we see that in men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. It means that they take an active interest. Yes, we don't want to be hypocrites, or not hypocrites, or self-righteous, or to have a spirit of pride, or a show-off spirit, if you want to say that. But you're to let it shine, and that they may see your good works. Men are to see our good works. And so we're not necessarily to hide them, but they're to see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify me, not glorify us, but glorify, seeing the good works, glorify God, making the connection in their mind that this man or this people have a higher cause that they're working for, and not to be thinking that that we are someone special, not glorify ourselves, but that the good works glorify God. And so then we can all do whatever idea we may have to be right and good, but we follow the laws of God, and that reflects and brings glory to him. Then, looking further as we think of this, that you want to glorify your Father in heaven by your consecration. You want to glorify him, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You want to glorify him in whatever you do and however you feel to want to glorify God. We may sometimes be tempted to have wrong attitudes, wrong spirit. We become bitter. We become, we have a place in our heart where there's bitterness. And mark it down, that's going to grow out of that one spot into other places in our heart and life that a certain bitterness may affect us. And so that we are consecrated to him entirely. And then too, by bearing much fruit, we can be glorify him. So shall he be my disciple, that we do bring forth fruit. And it is worthwhile to make effort to not just come to church, but to do the right thing. To do the right thing with your neighbor, to do the right thing in your community, by bearing fruit that is a result of the Jesus Christ living within you. And that's another statement we should have made with the salt and the light in verse 13 and 14. Our Jesus Christ, it says that about the savor, and it's speaking of the taste, and sometime I heard that already, the Savior, and it's the same thing. It's speaking of the taste of salt. If you are salt and you lost your taste, you're worthless. Men need to see Jesus Christ within us. not just us or the works that we do, but they need to see Jesus Christ within us. And so that's what makes us a value of him living in us. And of course, we know the route we're going to need to take of the word of God and prayer. And also you're the light of the world. And so Jesus is that light, that if we are living for him, we can't make our light shine, but we're living for him. So continuing to glorify God by bearing much fruit and by combined testimony. We come together with looking into the word of God in our service. And God wants testimony given to him as brethren and sisters, and that we are inspired by the word of God, and we get inspiration in the songs we sing, and we're not just doing it by rote, I guess you'd say, but it means something to us. And then four in 1 Peter 2:12, your honesty and good works. By our honesty, Peter says, and good works, the Lord is revealed, and they will acknowledge God. Then five, Philippians 2:5, that they might be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So the thought is that we can't just be passive, and we acknowledge Christ, and now we did our part. But there is a mission that, as a church, we're on. And at home, or in Redenby, wherever we are, that we represent Jesus Christ, that we are serving him. And so there is a value. We spoke of the service here, value of a church community, and that we are a community, and that we put effort forth in our relationships with each other. I have something on my phone called Anabaptist perspective, in which a man goes around and he gets people in and discusses with them. Ruth, the historian, he had one time, but I saw one yesterday where he was speaking with a girl from Ireland and how she came to the Mennonites and how she came to know them. And she gave her story up for 5 years, or some years as a child. Her parents were going drove to a Mennonite church, and they had four or five, I think, R's every time they went, and they did that for years. And we have what? Most maybe half an R, and some might have three-quarter R. But what she saw in it eventually came to the place she had made a choice. She was going to go backpacking with her brother, and she suddenly realized, well, she can't take two sets of clothes, one for the clothes she wears normally and the other for the clothes, that Mennonite clothes. And so she made a decision. She's going to become a member, and she's going to join the Mennonite church. Well, moving on from that, the fact is, it's going to cost sometimes. It's going to cost us. You see, there's character traits. It speaks of the salt, you know, the salt of the earth. And we're thinking of salt was something the pioneers and the Indians fought for. They had places where the ground, or there was salt in the ground, they could mine out. And salt was valuable for various things. And the one that was the nature of salt is to preserve from corruption and infection in a wound. Our salt preserves, salt keeps. The salt of Jesus Christ within us keeps us from evil, keeps us from sin. And so salt is a preserver. We need to have salt in ourselves. And then also that would include a pure doctrine. What we teach and what we believe is important. And that we have the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That to preserve society around us, we need to be teaching what Jesus wants us to teach and what he taught us in order to, and not just some man's idea, but it needs to be teaching of self-denial and cross-bearing and the willingness to do whatever it takes to follow him. And the second thing salt does, it brings about a chemical change in the total lump to which it is added, similar to leaven, in which it brings around a change in our hearts to begin with. The salt will bring changes in our attitudes, in our goals, in the things we want to follow. It will also bring changes in the home if we have that salt within ourselves, the salt of Jesus Christ. It'll bring changes thinking on the large scale of the society we live in, that Jesus Christ permeated in various places is going to make a better society. And we may say, well, those aren't all really born again Christians, but that's in God's hands, and whether they fully respond, the influence goes out of the salt that's in people, individuals, communities, churches, our nations even, that it permeates everything around it and becomes something that preserves and brings about a change in people's hearts, in kingdoms, in people, nations, that on some level, the Holy Spirit will work and change things to bring about a right change in the hearts of people. Well, the Word of God, rightly applied, brings about the submission of the total man. 2 Corinthians 3:19, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed by the same image. We see Jesus Christ, and it changes something within us. And that's as well true wherever this salt goes, to what degree. Maybe there's a very little bit of salt there, but it's still there, and it's something that's going to have an effect on around it. And maybe there's more salt sometimes. I think of, we could look out there and say, well, where is the Holy Spirit? All the sin and the attitudes people have. But there's still salt around. And as long as the Holy Spirit is in this world and there's Christians in this world, there's salt around that's going to speak to hearts and hopefully bring about change in people, even though they may not be fully committed, born-again Christians yet. That salt is still going to affect them. And same as sometimes used to teach, try to get something together where we could teach the children in the community. And it wasn't, interest wasn't so great. But the thing I always thought about is, you meet people like that. They say, yes, when they were little children, they were taught this, and they remember back and what some of the things that were taught to them. The salt is there, and hopefully it brings them to a place where they light up more later. And so the salt brings about a change within. It brings about a change by doctrine. Man thinking by himself, people wishing or wanting to find something better spiritually, need the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God in which he has revealed himself. And so they need doctrine. They need to have the Word speak to them. And we can do that by our walk of life. Helps to preserve the doctrine, the Christian's influence, and we had already mentioned that. And our three, to lose these is to lose doctrine and to lose our walk of life and Christian influence is to lose the savor or the taste in Christ in your life. And it speaks here that that is worthless, something that has lost the savor. Salt that has lost the taste is worthless. So one character trait in walk of life is to be merciful. We see that in verse 7, to be merciful to others. Those that are merciful shall obtain mercy. And so while humans' virtue, people trying to be good, may have some of that. The heathen would even have experiences that met people that met them where they realized they ought to be kind. The doctor that was out at the Laurels was Murr, his name is, and he's no longer there. But he asked, Nora was with me in the office, in the room there, and he asked us to pray for him. He just asked if we would pray for him. And then I asked, "What do you know of Jesus Christ?" And well, he said, "I was brought up Muslim," he said. But he wasn't really a practicing Muslim, but he learned to, he tries to be good to other people. He tries to treat them like he would want to be treated, and so on. He still had principles that he had, even though he never knew Jesus Christ. But there were principles there that all men have in which to be nice to somebody else, which is a Bible principle, is a virtue that they would like to follow. And so that's the challenge that that we face as we think of salt. And another attribute should be purity, that we have purity. And now we think of moral issues, pure from world and way of handling the issues of life that humans are prone to fall in. And so, in purity, we need to be pure, that God is first in our life. God wants a pure heart, not a heart that would long to have something else, or a heart that is not giving him priority. And that's part of our purity, that we're Christians, that want to be Christians, and that we're going to follow him and search him. I have here something I'm going to read, which probably may have been preached here many years ago in this church building. When we bought the church and there was a computer here, and we were getting rid of that stuff, and in some files, I found some messages that the pastor had preached. I think maybe he was named by the name of Freeman. And so I took them along. I thought, you know, and I looked in them some things. I probably pulled some things out. I didn't use them much. But yesterday, I had looked into them again. And he was thinking, all right, the subject I'm thinking here, and so this is what he had in one of the messages that we that the people of that time flocked to Jesus because they never saw devotion like they saw in Jesus, and they never saw self-sacrifice like they saw in Jesus, and they never saw anyone pay the cost that Jesus was willing to pay. And that was to take up his cross and be willing to die for each and every one of us, to forgive our sins so we could have eternal life. Living in mission is what he calls that. He was speaking somewhat the same subject, and that's why I sort of pulled this out. Living in mission, living with a mission, makes us solely Christian. But to do that, we must, as Paul said, die to ourselves daily. We must be willing to place everything that competes with God in second place and make serving him our first priority. Otherwise, we will lose our saltiness and be good for nothing. That ultimately is taking up our cross, removing everything in our lives that compete with our love for God. And we have to make getting to know him our first priority. For those who spend time with God daily, to increase that time. For those who are hit and miss, to commit to make your time with God a daily thing. And for those of you who don't spend any time with him at all, to devote this next month, because, he says, and I didn't check this out, because it takes 21 days to form a habit to give God the first part of your day. I'd like to see something as to where he figured out 21 days, but it's interesting, and I can see there may be truth to it. It may mean getting up earlier and adjusting your schedule, but being a disciple of Jesus Christ is costly. If you really want to be a disciple, it's going to cost you something. Someone said, could it be my choice to live or not to live missionally may change a Buddhist life, a Hindu person's life, or a Muslim follower's life, or maybe my neighbor's life. To know God and make him known is our mission. Living in it will be costly, but changed lives are worth it all. So I'm not sure what time he was, might have been maybe 2010 or so, I'm not sure, but I did come across that yesterday, and since it was what I was thinking about, I pulled it out and to read that. So we were thinking of saltiness and the activities of the Christian, and yet to look at the light. You're the light. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light, which shineth more and more unto that perfect day. And so again, we have somewhat the thought with the life that we had with the salt, that it's going to take an active interest on our part, a willingness to pay whatever price it takes to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him. And so Christ is the original, the light of the world. He is the light. We are not the light. We just reflect that light, which is Jesus Christ. And when we are looking into the Word of God and seeking guidance and direction and know the Lord Jesus, why, we become a light because his image is reflected on us and we become more like him. And so those, his brother said it takes 21 days to break a habit. And so maybe that's true. But it calls for effort on our part. It calls for not just a quick choice and decision at one time, but it calls for a daily following that course until it begins to change the way I looked at things And it becomes first nature with us, hopefully, to make the right choice instead of the second best choice. And so that's a challenge I wanted to leave in this message, that we need to be actively pursuing our Christian experience and our life and our walk with Him. And so He is the original light, and we see light from Him. And then other people looking at our life become enlightened. They begin to see a glimmer of maybe what they ought to be. And hopefully they may actively pursue that, and so that they can find the way also to the light. And so the purpose of good works is to glorify God, number one. Two, to do good to others. Do unto others as He would have them do unto you. And so if we're persecuted and reviled, we're not to pout. That we go back to that verse 12, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, that we may follow Him. And so in closing, we see here in Matthew 5:14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If Jesus Christ is in there, if you're endeavoring to follow Him, and your mission is to keep on doing that, it's something that can't be hid. There's others around you going to know it, and they're going to realize it. And so the challenge I leave, that we all endeavor to put into practice the words that the Lord spoke to us, and may be what He wants us to be. Let's kneel for prayer.